And now, for something very, very wrong. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
What is your status right now?
Right now, I'm on administrative leave.
All right, I'm joined by Mr. Verdant Dozier, who is a high school teacher, and he was involved in a confrontation at his school today. Now, this is very reflective of what I think is going on in the country right now. Feelings are so strong about this election that people are driven to extreme emotions, and without judging you, Mr. Dozier, I'm just saying that this seems to be going on a lot in the country, people's feelings running high for either candidate.
I can tell you that I don't like personally being called gutless, which I think is, you know, what happened.
All right. Tell me what your status is. You're on administrative leave?
Yeah, they're going to open an investigation, and I'll get a hearing with the school's executive board. But my attorney says I'm in pretty good shape.
Tell me how all of this started. Tell our audience how it started. You were in the teacher's lounge at which school?
This is Belmar Academy.
And this is a private high school?
It's a middle school, high school, yeah.
All right. Tell me how it started.
Yes, sir. I was in our lunchroom, and I had just returned from doing a workout in our weight room, and I had a 1 o'clock class, and this gentleman is one of the school administrators.
This Mr. Huff?
Yeah, Craig Huff, yeah. He is the middle school principal. And
you teach at the high school level there?
That is correct, yeah. And he and I were getting a cup of coffee, and the conversation got around to who we would be voting for. And this guy says that he's voting for Bush. And he asked me who I was going to vote for, and I told him to vote for Kerry.
That you were going to vote for Senator Kerry?
That is correct. And when I said that, that I was going to vote for Kerry, he says to me the phrase, "So you decided to take Bin Laden's advice."
And that is a reference to the videotape?
To the tape on Friday.
To the videotape of Osama Bin Laden attacking Bush over the weekend?
Yes, sir.
And then what happened?
Well, I didn't really think I was a little bit stunned that he would basically call me gutless because, you know, he's, I guess, saying that I'm afraid of Bin Laden following through on doing something terrorist. And
and you felt humiliated?
Well, he was mocking me. Yes, sir, that is correct. And that's when, and you have to understand, I'm a high school teacher of academics, but I also coach our football team. So I guess I get physical in my responses. And so when he said, so Dozier, you decided to take Bin Laden's advice and vote for Kerry, I felt he was pointing out to the assembled people there, because there were other teachers in the room. And
so there were other witnesses. How many people were there?
There were probably about three or four other teachers there that I remember. And I said to him, I didn't think that was fair of him. And I was trying to keep my temper. And because when he says that I'm taking Bin Laden's advice, he's basically calling me, he's calling me yellow. And and I also said that, you know, voting for Kerry, even if Bin Laden supports him, you're not going to make fun of me. And then he wouldn't let it go. And he kept saying, so you're voting for Kerry because Bin Laden told you to. You're voting for Kerry because Bin Laden told you to. And that's when I did hit him.
And you hit him with your fist?
Yes, sir. I hit him with my fist. I threw a lunch tray on him.
And then you left the lunchroom?
Yeah, I left the lunchroom and went to my office because I knew I was going to be arrested. So I went back to my office. I just started working on some homework and I had to, that I had to correct. And I waited for the sheriff. About 45 minutes later, I was called out of Tom Hazelwood's office, who's our vice principal, and that's when the sheriff arrested me.
Now, I want to know, when he said to you, you're voting for Kerry, so you've decided to take Bin Laden's advice, you said you felt he was making fun of the fact that you have some fear?
Well, I don't have any fear. I don't like anybody calling me, and I don't think anybody likes anyone calling them a coward, you know, a gutless wonder or what have you. I simply am being prudent with my vote, and he tries to call me gutless. And I got angry basically because he doesn't understand that those of us who are voting for Senator Kerry are doing it to save our country, yeah, from Bin Laden, you know, getting angry if Bush gets elected and targeting one of our schools, because our schools were on a hit list, but it was my understanding.
In the summer, I think they found some evidence in Iraq or something of that.
And so I said to him, before I hit him, are you calling me? And I said it slow. I said, are you calling me gutless? And all he said was, you know, he wouldn't answer me. when I gave him a chance, and all he'd say was, I'm not making fun of you, I'm just saying you decided to vote for bin Laden because, you know, or vote for Kerry because bin Laden told you to, and that's why I said, you know, why are you saying that, why, and that's when I just lost it, and I hit him across the face with a lunch tray. And
Now that man, Mr. Huff, was hospitalized with a pretty serious laceration across his face, wasn't he?
I didn't want to hurt him. I just wanted to stop him to stop calling me gutless in front of my colleagues and the other school administrators.
And then you were arrested for assault and you were released on bail?
That is correct. I was processed and my attorney posted bail, and I have an administrative hearing pending the outcome of when I go to court. But again, my attorney, who's Ray Leakes of Ventura, tells me that the judge will probably dismiss because I was provoked.
All right, I'm going to give our phone number out, Mr. Dozier, if you don't mind, to take some phone calls.
Yes, sir. That was my understanding.
Okay, good. So Chris told you. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. You feel you were provoked into hitting this man when he made the bin Laden reference. And I want to ask you to get back to what he said and why you hit him. Was there some truth to what he said, that you voted for Kerry on the advice of bin Laden?
There is no truth to the inference that I'm gutless. Okay, that's
all right. I'm not calling you gutless, sir. I just want, was there any truth to what he said, that you're going to vote for Kerry because bin Laden has said to?
There is no truth. Osama bin Laden doesn't, I'm an American. I don't know if Osama bin Laden doesn't tell me what to do, or any American what to do for that matter. But he came out with this tape, and he says that he's going to target states that are going to vote for Bush. And I said to myself, and I said to my wife, that he sounds like he's serious, so why would I want to provoke that? Okay, if I had bin Laden in front of me, believe me, there wouldn't be anything left of the man. But I can't get to him. So all I can do is just hear what he's got to say, and I to go along with that.
Do you think other people are voting for Kerry because of what bin Laden said?
No, I don't think anybody's voting for Kerry because of what bin Laden said. I'm trying to make that point clear. I'm saying that...
But you're saying that he influenced your decision, right?
I'm saying, sir, that the gentleman who called me yellow...
Because you take that to mean he called you a coward.
Absolutely. To say that I'm voting for Kerry because bin Laden told me to... No one tells me what to do. I made up my own mind, and I think everyone who's voting for Senator Kerry recognizes that he's a better candidate when it comes to not making the terrorists get more mad and want to do something. So I don't think it's a fair question. I think those of us who support Senator Kerry do so out of a real feeling that bin Laden can strike at any time, and if we can do... what he is saying, but the way that Huff said it, he was telling everybody that I was yellow and making fun of me.
But you, and I don't want to keep hitting this, but you have real fears that bin Laden will hit if you vote for Bush?
Well, I mean, the man was on a videotape talking about how he hates Bush.
Don't you think there's a lot of people voting for Kerry just because they think he's the right man for the job?
Absolutely, and I'm voting for Kerry because I don't think anybody's voting for Kerry because they think he's... I think people are going to be voting for Kerry because... Yeah, he's the right man, and also this tape comes out that basically tells, and that was a real cup of coffee for me, man. I knew that my decision to support Kerry might be viewed favorably by these Arabs and maybe give us some breathing room. And
now you also referenced the Michael Moore film, Fahrenheit 9/11. You said that obviously bin Laden agreed with Michael Moore.
Okay, again, I think that puts Mr. Moore in a bad light.
Well, bin Laden referenced things from the movie about President Bush listening to the little girl's story finish before he went out of the classroom, so on.
All I said to this guy, Huff, was, if you saw Fahrenheit 9/11, bin Laden agrees that with Michael Moore. And so, you know, but he kept saying...
But you don't like... All of this comes down to you not liking to be called gutless.
I don't like that word because I'm taking the advice of a man who... This guy, bin Laden, ought to know that Bush is the reason for all the mess, so don't you think he knows what he's talking about. But I'm not gutless. And that's why I assaulted him. Now, my attorney tells me that I was provoked into it. And I was... because you can't call him a man. Let me tell you something right now. I've been a high school football teacher, a football coach, and a high school teacher for some 17 years. We've won four Division III titles. I coach a very tough team. I'm not gutless or anything like that. I'm just voting for Gary because I think he's a good man, and also Bin Laden is basically saying that that's the way we can avoid having more terror all over the place. But let me tell you what, someone calls me gutless, man, they better run.
All right, Mr. Dozier, hold on, please. 1-800-449-8686. You've heard the story there. Vernon Dozier, who is a high school football, varsity football coach as well as a teacher, was in the teacher's lounge. And the reason why we're having him on is there's a sense that I have, and I don't think it's just a sense. I know that the feelings are running strongly in this country, pro and con, Bush and Kerry. People have decided, man, and that's their man. And there was a literal fisticuffs in this teacher's lounge today at a high school here in the Los Angeles area. When one teacher said to another, who are you voting for? And when he said to Mr. Dozier, I'm voting for Kerry, he said, so you've decided to take Bin Laden's advice. And that provoked the fight. Mr. Dozier says he's not gutless, and he feels that that man was calling him gutless. Do you think it's a gutless vote, a vote for Kerry, or do you think that this man knows his own mind and doesn't deserve that kind of maltreatment at the hands of a colleague? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You listen to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
If Dracula bit you and you were wearing a garlic necklace, wouldn't you sue the garlic farmer? You savvy?
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
But your point is, I'm talking with Vernon Dozier, a high school teacher. Your point is, just because you're voting for John Kerry because Bin Laden suggests that a vote for Bush is wrong doesn't make you gutless.
No, it does not, and I don't even like the word gutless. No, it doesn't make me gutless. Look, I don't like people calling me gutless. I'm voting for Kerry, and Bin Laden also said yes. You should vote for Kerry, but that doesn't make me or anybody else gutless who is going to vote for Kerry because Bin Laden said to, because of the fact that he knows that Bush, for want of a better word, Phil, pissed him off. And that can only mean bad stuff, but going ahead. But to call me gutless, man, I'll tell you right now that I didn't like it, and that's why I did what I did.
If you had it to do over again, sir, would you have hit that teacher?
No, sir, I would not have. That doesn't send a good message to my students. It doesn't send a good, it's not a good workplace decorum. I would have left the room. I would have, done whatever I had to do. But, man, I'll tell you, I think it put him on notice. Boy, you call me yellow.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Just because you're voting for Kerry because Bin Laden said you should vote for Kerry doesn't make you gutless, is your point.
Well, no. And again, I don't like the word gutless. Just because I'm listening to all sources. Everybody. I read a newspaper, Osama Bin Laden, everybody. I take all kinds of information. Bin Laden makes a suggestion. I would be foolish not to listen to it. And I think everyone who supports Senator Kerry understands that.
All right, 1-800-449.
I believe, Phil, if I could interrupt.
Go ahead.
I believe that's what Senator Kerry means by global understanding. I mean, you want to get input from all concerned, even the terrorists.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Tracy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I just have to say, I don't think the issue is who that man is voting for, anything about Osama bin Laden. I was just infuriated when I turned on the radio and heard a teacher say that he hit another man across the head with his cafeteria tray.
Well, if I had to do it again, I wouldn't have done it. But he called me, he's telling me.
I don't really
call
you. I mean, we teach our children to ignore being calling and be, just walk away from people who call you names.
Well, what if somebody called you a you know what? Are you
I wouldn't
walk
hit
over?
Him in the face with a cafeteria tray. I mean, what kind of temper? If you can't control your temper.
Forgive me, ma'am, but what if someone called you a streetwalker, a slut, or some kind of a deal like that?
I would walk away from them. I wouldn't even give that person the time of day.
But if you walk away, then they keep on doing it.
They wouldn't even be on my radar. I would leave the room.
They keep on doing it. They keep yelling out, hey, you're a streetwalker, you're a streetwalker, blah, blah, blah.
And that makes you, how much worse does it make you to hit the person?
At least I'm proving that I'm not gutless, which is what he said I was.
Lose your job as a teacher.
Well, he's on administrative leave, and this is pending an investigation by the school's board of executives.
The school's executive board, yeah. And then
I have to say, I'm glad my children are out of school, because if I had a child in that school, I would take him out of there.
Well, ma'am, I'd like to think that I set an example for our young people. If someone calls you yellow,
you think you set an example for young people?
Well, you going to let people call you yellow? No, ma'am, no, ma'am, no, ma'am.
I don't care what people call me. They can call me what they want. That's their prerogative.
Well, I think that that's wrong. If you was black, are you going to let them call you the N-word? Aha. See, I got you on that one.
I don't care what they call me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I know what I am, and I know what my beliefs are.
Well,
it doesn't matter what other people say. You can't control what other people say about you.
So
you don't have the right to hit them.
Mark, can I ask you a question?
It's illegal.
Are you calling me gutless?
I'm not calling you anything. I'm saying you're a bad example.
It sounds like you're calling me gutless.
Teacher, and you shouldn't
not
be a teacher.
Not calling you gutless says you shouldn't be a teacher.
Because you're saying I don't have the guts to be a teacher.
I didn't say you don't have the guts.
Well,
I didn't say anything about
guts. You're kind of intimating that I'm yellow.
Do you think
calling me yellow? That's all I want
to
know.
The guts to hit another man.
Well, you better believe it.
Well, you sound like you're proud of it.
So
I mean, on the one hand, you say you're sorry you did it. On the other hand, you sound like you're proud of it.
I'm not proud of it.
You sound like you're bragging about it. That's how you come across.
Yeah, but you and Mr. Henry are intimating that I'm yellow. And
no,
we're
not, man.
I'm
not intimating at all. I mean, if anything, your vote for Kerry based upon what Bin Laden says. I'm not calling you yellow, but if you're going to vote for Kerry because Bin Laden suggests it, I find that to be wrong reasoning.
Okay, but that's the same thing as calling me yellow.
No, it's not. No, it isn't at all. I just think
that
your reasoning is
faulty. It doesn't matter what people call you. That makes them rude and ignorant. But
man, I'll tell you.
It's a good person who can just walk away from it and not hit a person.
All right, Tracy, thank you for your call. All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I'm not calling you yellow, sir.
All right, I just want to be clear, because I am not yellow. Now, I shouldn't have hit that man. I'm sorry, but boy.
All right, I understand that, I think your reasoning's faulty.
See that? I'm sorry, you're basically calling me a gutless wonder.
No, I'm not. Let me go over to Ron. Ron, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, I'm going to tell you, you'd have to improve to be gutless.
Are you?
Nobody cares what Bin Laden thinks.
You're calling me gutless.
I'm calling you gutless. You don't like it? Tough.
Mister, if you were
pretty much the way Bin Laden put it to you.
What's that?
Both Vicario will bomb you. Take your best shot.
Oh, so in other words, what you're saying to me is, if you were standing in front of me, you'd say that I'm a yellow.
I would stand right in front of you and say that.
You're calling. You see, I got a big yellow stripe running up my back. Is that it?
I don't know what kind of stripes you got on your back. Or even
I said to that guy, he says to me in front of my colleagues, you're voting
for... You sound like you're yellow all over. Yeah, I don't think I have to look at your back.
Man, you know, you're a real telephone cowboy, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
All right, gentlemen, before... You know, all it is calling each other names here.
Well, I just wanted to be clear. Just because I'm concerned with Mr. Bin Laden's opinion doesn't mean I'm gutless.
Mr. Bin Laden, you're giving respect to vermin. What is the matter with you?
I'm just simply saying the guy was on a videotape suggesting that Bush is not the guy to vote for. Are you not going to at least listen to that? Well, look at he's laughing at me, too. Oh, man.
Okay, Ron, listen, thank you for your call. All right, I got a lot I want to say to you, Vernon. We'll come back. 1-800-449-8686. This man's going to vote for Kerry because Bin Laden said to. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
When you talk about Vernon Dozier joins me, a high school teacher who was involved in a bit of physical violence today at a school between two teachers, one who's voting for Bush, the other voting for Kerry. The fact that you're voting for Kerry and that this guy was voting for Bush wasn't the reason why you hit him, right?
No, sir, it's not. I respect the man's opinion. It's when he said, "Oh, you're voting for Kerry because Bin Laden told you to."
But you're not disagreeing with the essence of that.
I'm not disagreeing with the fact that I heard Bin Laden say some things that made sense, and they seem to coincide with what Michael Moore was saying, and so I thought, okay, so I'm going to do that. Now I get this guy calling me a gutless wonder, telling me I got a big yellow stripe going down my back, you know, and everything like that. And boy, I just went off. Now, I'll tell you a little bit of a story about me, Phil, if I can.
All right, I got some calls to get to.
All right, be very quick. When I was a young man, I went to the doctor with my mother. We were getting a series of tetanus shots. There'd actually been an outbreak of tetanus in the town that I grew up in. I grew up in a Texas town called Alpine, and there'd been some, two cases of tetanus, so I went and got tetanus. And I ran away, and they laughed at me. And I decided then I'd never let no one call me gutless again.
Well, what do you mean you ran away? You didn't want to get the shot?
I did not want to get the shot, no. And I don't like getting shots. But somebody calls me yellow, that goes way beyond me being afraid of getting a shot. And so when he said to me, "Oh, you're voting for Bush because Bin Laden told you to," that seemed to sound like he's calling me yellow. And he did it in front of all those teachers. So I hit him with a serving tray, and, you know, I gave him what for.
Man's going to have a scar on his face for the rest of his life from that serving tray.
Well, there you go.
There you go, huh?
Hey, the shoe fits.
Where are you right now, at a restaurant?
I'm actually at a, I'm having a, to be honest with you, I'm having a couple of drinks, because it has been one of those days.
I understand. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Lola, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Mr. Dozier. I'm just wondering,
yes, ma'am,
how you can defend an assault on another teacher when you're working in a school where you're supposed to be setting an example for children.
Well, we weren't
I
around the kids.
I don't understand how you think that that's okay. And
we weren't
adult,
around the kids.
It's our job.
We were
to,
in the teacher's lounge. There were no children present.
Regardless, you're in the setting of your profession, which
no
is to set a moral and value.
No,
it doesn't
no,
matter.
No kid
you're
could
there.
See it.
As an
behind.
Example.
Doors were closed. No kid could see me kick
but
this guy's
But you're there
ass.
Serving as an example.
Look,
and that's even to coworkers.
Right. And when the
and
kids
the problem
can
I
see,
have,
I'm
the
not
problem I have
ass.
Is you say that you're teaching kids
but I kick
the best way to go about
kids.
Being
well,
confronted
hold
with
on.
A problem.
Mr. Dozier, hold on. Let the lady finish.
I just want her to know that when I kicked this guy's ass, I wasn't in front of no kid.
Okay, well, you seem to be proud of that. And I'm just thinking maybe your position there needs to be reevaluated and maybe some anger management courses should be issued to you.
Well,
but I'm just saying, you think it's okay to teach kids to confront things physically, and that's not okay. You're an adult, and you need to say, look, I'm not really comfortable with you confronting me on my political issues and the way I want to vote, so I'm going to go ahead and remove myself from this situation. For you to hit a man and come on the show, I mean, it's some kind of joke. You have to be kidding me.
Ma'am, first of all, the gentleman asked me who am I voting for, and I asked him
but
who he's voting
for. But you know what? Isn't it taught in school
that
you're not supposed to discuss religion or
you
politics
can, you can discuss
school?
Anything. This is America. That's what we also teach in school. We have freedom of speech, and we can discuss politics. And,
not beyond
and,
politics
and
religion.
Man,
and you should
and
know
man,
that those being sensitive subjects, that you shouldn't discuss those
well,
things.
Well, ma'am, I'm
and
not one of
an
these touchy-feelies. I'm not one of these touchy-feely yuppies like you, okay? I mean, I talk about what I talk about, and the other teacher asked me, and so we talked. And it's
well,
only when he said to me,
business.
It's only when he said to me, so you're doing what Bin Laden asked. I said, so now you're calling me yellow. And he just kind of laughed and went back to serving himself some, he was at the buffet line getting some corn.
So this is America. He's entitled to his position not to be attacked by another man who's supposedly some stocky football player.
Wait, so you're calling me gutless.
Do you suffer from short man syndrome? I'm just wondering.
No, ma'am, I do not. I'm 6'4". I play professional football in Canada, so I'm...
I'm not sure that gutless even describes the word for you.
So you're calling me gutless?
Yes, I'm calling you gutless.
You know, you're a lady, so I'm going to let that slide. If you were a man, I'd come through the phone on you.
Obviously, you have anger issues when people want to discuss their opinion on anything. You're the only one that wants to have an opinion on anything.
All he said was, so you're voting for... He said that I was afraid of Bin Laden.
And that's just right. So let him say that.
Well, you know, I mean, you've said everything but that, sir.
But, Mr. Henry, if you're going to go and call me yellow...
What is your connotation with yellow? I mean, what is your infatuation with this word yellow?
I don't have an infatuation with it, ma'am. I don't like anybody
calling
me that.
You've had a sort of cowardice problem since you were a child. You need to go back to maybe have therapy and discuss your issues from a childhood rather than take it out on grown men in the school facility.
Boy, I don't like a woman that talks a lot. I'm sorry. It's just a weakness I have. I'm sorry. I apologize.
I don't think you like a lot of things, but I think what you need is therapy.
Well, Mr. Dozier, you sound a little exercised.
I'll tell you what's exercising me, Mr. Henry, is the idea, okay, Bin Laden comes on the tape, and he says, you know, you better not vote for Bush. So, man, forget it.
Well,
I just say this to you?
You have an anger issue and an alcohol issue since you're sitting at a bar drinking.
Oh, so you're not allowed to drink now.
Great
I think it's legal.
To handle your problems,
I think
buddy.
It's legal
great
to drink. Hey, it's either that or if you were a man, and you're not, but if you were a man, I'd slap the fillings right out of your teeth. But you're not,
obviously,
so what do I got to do?
Issues. Well, my issue is proof precisely.
Ma'am,
you have anger issues.
You know, this whole anger issue thing, that sounds like some yuppie doublespeak. I'm sitting here having a drink, which is legal, and it's the only way I can...
Oh, you're funny.
All right, I'm done with her. You know, there's the only way to deal, Mr. Henry, with a woman that laughs and talks too much is just have another drink.
It's hard for you to it's hard for you to handle a woman with an opinion, isn't it?
No, it's not hard for me to handle a woman with an opinion.
It's hard for you to handle anyone that has an opinion.
It's hard for me to handle a woman who just keeps on going with the mouth and won't even shut up.
Well, I feel sorry for your wife, should there be one.
There happens to be a Mrs. Dozier, and
I'm very sorry, Mrs. Dozier. My condolences.
What did you say?
Look, Vernon, let's move past this. Obviously, the caller's mocking you now.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. That's what that guy did to me today. Now, if that was a man talking to me, I would have come right through the phone, right down the fiber optics, right into her lap. But it wasn't a man. It was a woman, so I'm staying out of the phone on her. But I would have come through the phone if it had been a man.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to James. James, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier, high school teacher who was involved in an assault today because somebody said to him, you're voting for Kerry because Bin Laden told you to. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Look, he has went around the bush here and said that he's basing his vote because he is scared of what would happen if Bush got back in office. If you're scared, say you're scared. There's no yuppie doublespeak on my end. I am calling you a coward, and it's really obvious.
Well, how's that obvious? How could you take from what I'm saying as being I'm scared?
Of all the issues and all the split nation we have right now on the political issues of this whole deal, you just up and off of a tape that come out 2 days ago decided that you need to vote because Bin Laden said so.
No,
I'm
voting
for... The teacher or the principal pointed it out to you. You didn't like it. You have an issue here with fear, which means you are yellow, as you say.
So you're calling me yellow?
I am indeed.
I just want to be clear.
I am indeed.
Oh, man.
I know. Yeah, you're going to come through the fiber optics and what have you. But
see,
the fact
now
is
you're mocking
your vote
me.
Is based on fear.
You sounded
therefore,
just,
you're a coward.
You just sound like that guy Huff today who said to me, so you're voting for Kerry on account of... Bin Laden told you to.
Well, who were you going to vote for last week?
That's my question as well. I mean, you just said that you waited all this time, as much as has been going on with this election, and based your whole vote on the past 2 days because of a tape from a terrorist.
I mean, who were you going to vote for?
That's got nothing to do with it.
Who were you going to vote for last week, let's say before the Bin Laden tape?
I was leaning toward Bush, and a lot of people are leaning toward Bush, leaning toward Kerry. This kind of pushed me more toward Kerry, because... But now, see, this guy calls me yellow.
Right.
You're saying
that part right. There's no
yellow
that I'm calling you a coward.
What shade of yellow? What shade of yellow? Deep yellow?
I have no idea. You're just a coward. That's all I can
say. Well, that's basically saying that I'm a deep, rich yellow.
Sure.
Okay, banana yellow. How's that?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I tell you what.
Oh, dang.
See, both of you guys don't understand. Here's another guy that's laughing. Okay, great. Then you go against what Bin Laden said. You go ahead and vote for Bush, and you watch what happens, because he said in his tape that he's going to do a terrorist on the states that don't vote for Kerry.
Right. Well, the one point you made earlier was that there was a list of schools and all that.
That they found in Iraq.
Right. And they also found out 2 days later that it had nothing to do with terrorist attacks. And I don't know how you missed that part since you got the initial part of the story.
Well,
that story was a wash.
Okay, now here we go, because you're not only calling me deep, rich, yellow, but you're calling me stupid, too.
Okay. Yeah, that works.
I didn't come on your
program. I mean, obviously, that stupid fits in there anyway if you go swatting people around because they don't agree with you.
Sir, if I could shrink down to the size of an
I know.
I would
you come through the phone line and all
right,
that.
In other words, are you mocking me because I have legitimate anger at you making fun of me?
No, I'm just making the point that you're a coward, and evidently you are stupid as well.
Mr. Dozier?
sorry,
another drink. I'll have another drink. Have another drink.
All right, thank you, James. What you're doing is you're drinking to...
I've got a lot of rage at being called a gutless wonder, and yet I'm not allowed to engage in a legal activity, which is alcohol consumption. So, but if I could shrink down to the size of an ant, go through the phone, slap his face after reemerging as a human. In other words, I'd go through as an ant.
Yeah, I understand. You'd come through and you'd beat the crap out of anybody that calls you yellow. Because you were afraid of getting a shot when you were a kid.
Okay, what do you mean by that? Because
you said you were afraid of getting a shot when you were a kid, and they called you a scaredy cat or whatever, and it stayed with you.
Yes, sir, it has.
Let's go to Guy on the Phil Henry Show. Guy?
Yes.
Yes, sir, go right ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, can you hear me? I'd like to know, instead of doing all this shrinking down and stuff that he's wanting to do, all he has to do is go over to Iraq, and he can use all this Billy Bad Boy that he is. He can go to Iraq, and he can get all he needs.
Okay, great. That's exactly what Bin Laden is saying not to do.
You can get all you want over there, mister. Instead of threatening principals and women on the telephone, all you got to do is get in the plane, and they'll strap you up and send you over there, and you can show all the 6'4", which most people that say they're 6'4", they're about 5'9". So I think that you ought to go over there.
I played professionally football in Canada.
I'll hang up and I'll listen to you make yourself happy by talking about how bad you are.
Okay, so now you're yellow because you're running out on me.
No, I'm not running out on you, man. I'm just telling you, first of all, most people that played football in Canada, they couldn't play in the United States because they weren't bad enough.
Yeah. Hey. Let me tell you what, I had a tryout with the Steelers. Hey, you talked to Warren Moon. He played in Canada. Oh, got you on that one.
He's a quarterback.
Got you on that one.
He's a quarterback.
Hey.
He's a quarterback.
So, ever heard of Bud Grant? He started in Canada. Yeah. Man, I'm on a roll now.
You need to go talk to your 17, 18-year-old boys that are gullible that think that you're bad. and instead sitting there drinking booze, go over to Iraq and show them how bad you are.
I don't want to go.
I'm gonna hang up.
Because I don't want to go over to Iraq. And if I could turn myself into pure energy, travel over the fiber optic line, I'd slap that guy's face with a scented wet washcloth.
Well, that sounds really badass.
Okay, so now you're calling me yellow again. So I've had a million people call me yellow. What shade of yellow?
Banana yellow.
Banana yellow.
Yeah, maybe has a little saffron thrown in.
Saffron yellow. Mister, if I could shrink down into pure molecular energy and dance along the cable...
Bug off! Speaking of shrinking down to an ant, why don't you just bug right off?
I'll tell you one more thing, Mr. Henry. It was a cardboard serving tray I hit him with. Holy cheese.
Vernon Dozier on why he's voting for Kerry, because Bin Laden told him to. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
We just want to take a peek over the shoulder of the police, that's all, just a little peek, kind of a peekaboo.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
The Public Television Children's Workshop presents Cowboy Jim. And here is your host, everybody's favorite cowpoke, Cowboy Jim. Hey, boys and girls, and welcome to the Cowboy Jim Show. I'm so happy to have you with us here on the Children's Public Television Workshop, where we only talk about things that are positive and constructive. We'll teach you how to learn your alphabet. We'll teach you how to learn your numbers. We'll teach you that, for instance, beating a woman is bad, and respect people who have darker skin than you. All of those wonderful things. But the one thing we don't teach you is respect for those who are mentally ill. That's right. How do I know? Because I work here at public television, and I have a bipolar. How many of you kids know what bipolar is, or pole biler, or whatever that thing is? Yeah. Well, I know you're lying to me, because you're little children, so how would you know what bipolar is? But I am bipolar, and funny thing, I forgot my medicine. What do you think of that? I forgot my medicine, huh? Yeah! Think that's a lot of fun, huh? The fact that I left the house today without taking my medicine. You see, I have what's called a mania depression or manic depressive syndrome. So sometimes I'm depressed and, oh, look at that, they're cheering that I get depressed, huh? And sometimes I get manic, almost violent, if you will. Now, if because... I would ask you, Bill Cummings, who is my floor manager, please ask the kids not to cheer. Did you tell them to shut up?
I can't do it, Bill. I think it's a part of the show.
Anyway, now that you're cheering, see, now you've pushed me over the edge. Now you've pushed me over the edge into an area that I call the violent Cowboy Jim Show.
Yeah?
Okay. However, because you're children, I won't hurt you. I'll hurt myself. That's right. You see this? Huh? You know what that is? That's right.
Good God, Jim, what are you doing?
Just shut up and get away from me. This is a 5-gallon can of gasoline. Yeah, I guess what I'm going to do, I'm going to douse myself with it. All right, hey. Now then, I know we got a few of the parents in the audience today. Anybody got a match? Does anybody have a... Yeah, yeah. Thank you. What's your name?
Melissa Jones.
And Melissa, where are you from?
Scarsdale, New York.
And you come to the Cowboy Jim Show often?
Oh, we love it. Are you going to... What are you going to do?
I'm going to light myself on fire.
It's a special effect, right?
No, ma'am, it's not. I will burn and you'll smell burning flesh. Because of these brats cheering when I said I forgot my medicine at home. I'm bipolar, I forgot my medicine, and they think it's funny. All right, so watch this. I'll just light the match. Yeah! Yeah, right? You ever heard of the human torch? That's me, burning alive right in front of your eyes. G-D it! Yes, the Cowboy Jim Show from the Public Television Children's Workshop. As soon as we put Jim out, he'll be back next week. Man, that stings.
He's got a fire extinguisher. Someone put it out.
Well, there you go. Cowboy Jim just self-immolated. Now, that you'll never see that on Sesame Street. If anybody gets too close to Big Bird, though, with a Bic lighter. All right, 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget the new Phil Henry Best of the Year 2004 CD available on our website, www.philhenryshow.com. It's called Fahrenheit 7-Eleven, baby. It's only $20, and it's cool.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Tonight we have another edition of Dan Rather, Dumbass, and we'll also have Bob Bakian reporting live from over one polling place in America as they get ready to work the polls, our poll workers, and Earl Pants Car Talk will also be on a little bit later on in the program, plus a report from Wayne Templeton from Nader campaign headquarters, see how things are going there. And I don't know if you guys are like me, but I spent a fairly significant portion of the weekend watching horror movies. The greatest all-time zombie movie I rented and watched with great relish, a movie called 28 Days Later. This is without question the single greatest Night of the Living Dead-esque zombie comes back to life and begins to eat people film you've ever seen. And what makes this one all the more chilling, not only because it was made, you know, with real atmosphere. See, gore is only part of the
That's only part of the equation when you're looking at a great horror movie. In fact, some of the greatest horror movies that have ever been made, the camera pans away from the violence right as it's going to happen. The Mummy movies did that. The Mummies were not all that scary, but there have been some good Hammer horror movies out of Britain in the late 50s where just before the monster was going to, like, tear into his victim, the camera pans away and all you hear is screaming and you can see the shadows on the wall. That, to me, is far more chilling because it's far more realistic. In fact, if you think about violence, it's the way most of us have experienced it, almost as a shadow on the wall, you know, away but kind of near us. 28 Days Later has zombies that can run. They aren't the ones that are staggering along like in George Romero's movie. These cats are moving, man. They can run right after you. Because the ones in Night of the Living Dead were cool, but you could kick their ass with, like, just take a baseball bat and knock their head in. And they keep coming at you, but, like, the one I saw a remake of Night of the Living Dead. It was done in, like, the late 80s, and this guy runs this zombie over with his car, and the zombies still kind of come after him, even though his body's, like, been sliced in half. So the upper half is trying to crawl up the grass. The other horror movies, I get a kick out of them, and I, like I said, it all has to do with atmospherics. I still get a kick, not because they scare me, because I just dig the feel of those old Wolfman and Frankenstein movies. They're cool. You know, they're black and white, and, you know, when Frankenstein throws Igor, or Fritz is his name, it's not Igor, off the top of that windmill at the end of Frankenstein, it's played by the great Dwight Frye. The way Dwight Frye screams as he's getting thrown up, this is great. Dwight Frye is a guy who has been chronicled in song by Alice Cooper. And we even highlighted his website for a while. We linked his website on our website. There is a Dwight Frye website that you can go to. He's the guy who played Renfield in Dracula. He's a crazy-looking cat. Just crazy. Weird eyes and real dramatic, old-school-style acting, which seemed to really go well with those movies. And then the other really great films, when you're talking kind of pre-gore, Last House on the Left and The Hills Have Eyes, you talk about the Hammer horror movies of the late 50s, which was Dracula with Christopher Lee. That guy was the second greatest Dracula. He might have been the greatest Dracula, better than Lugosi. He was a scary dude. So I spent the weekend watching those, and of course the kids are, well, I mean, is there going to be like gore and stuff? Or, no, it's just, can I get with the thing? You know, if you ever watch the movie with a kid, it's the same old story. Can't you guys appreciate this cool thing? Not really. Okay, thank you. Although I did show him Bronx Tale, and I dug that, because that's such a cool story. You know, it's a coming-of-age story. It's really a beautiful movie. Robert De Niro and Chaz Palminteri, Bronx Tale. I don't know why I showed them that on Halloween weekend, but maybe it was because they were getting tired of that. But 28 Days Later, we all agree, is a single greatest movie. And, of course, they love Resident Evil. That's their all-time favorite. And the slasher movies are kind of coming back. The kids all ran out last night to see Saw. I haven't seen Saw, and I ain't going to Saw scene. I saw.
Okay, we get it.
Thank you, bud. Thank you for stopping me. They went out to see Saw.
Ha ha.
I'm not trying to be funny. They went out to see Saw.
What do you mean, you went out to see Saw?
To see the movie Saw.
Well, who saw it?
They saw C. I mean, they see... Get out of here, will you?
You don't want to try to make a joke out of it.
So they went out and they saw Saw. And I think they dug it. You saw it, Chris, right? I haven't been able to go see that. I want to...
It's good.
The other flick I want to see is Ray. People are rave. Jamie Foxx apparently just knocks it clean out of the park. It's a supposedly brilliant, brilliant movie. Ray, this new movie about Ray Charles with Jamie Foxx. And then the other movie I watched this weekend was the Osama bin Laden tape. You know, I've been listening to the commentary on that Osama bin Laden tape all weekend. And if you're like me, and I suspect there's a lot of you like me, whether you're voting for Kerry or if you're voting for Bush, there's a lot of you who probably sat and listened to the commentary almost dumbfounded as you heard person after person say, I don't know, it's too early to assess what this tape means. What? What it means? Sometimes if they lay it right out in front of you, it's difficult for you to say yes. Like if a guy just laid a big lump of horse manure right in front of you. There's some people, the way this election's been going, they went, well, I don't know, it looks like it might be beef bourguignon. No, it's horse crap. And so they're really hard. Well, what does the Osama bin Laden tape mean? The guy doesn't want you to vote for Bush. That's what the Osama bin Laden tape means. If anybody was confused, if anyone was not quite sure, if anyone is not clear as to what that means, he doesn't like Bush and he doesn't want you to vote for him. Well, how can you be sure, Phil? Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's because it was released like 3-4 days before the election. And in it, all he does is rip Bush. Based on his viewing of Fahrenheit 9/11, he got all his, that whole thing with a goat, yeah. And a little girl with a goat, and it gave us more time to hit the towers, so he screwed up there. It's like he's looking at all of these references in Fahrenheit 9/11 as if anybody's buying that movie. I guess he figures we are. I think Osama in his cave, it translates to this. I don't know, it's making a lot of money, it's a lot of box office, I think people are, you know, they really believe that it's true. It's like right after 9/11, people were checking out books on Islam from libraries in America, which is, it's a sign of how we like to educate ourselves in this country. Al-Qaeda took that to mean that people wanted to convert. So there were more and more people looking into this subject of this religious subject of Islam in America because we wanted to know what this religion was. Does it actually say you can fly planes into buildings? So we were being at our very best, you know, trying to educate ourselves. And bin Laden and his guys are sitting over there going, oh, wow, they're checking out all of these books on Islam. They must want to become Muslims, man. This is great. See, we're converting them already. See, like, just because Fahrenheit 9/11 made $150-200 million doesn't mean anybody's really buying what's in the movie. They went to see it. Anyway, he figured they did, so he was throwing back all the stuff about the little girl talking about the goat, and Bush was sitting listening to that, which gave them more time to carve up a few more people in New York, and then, oh yeah, the other thing was this guy Bush, a bunch of stuff from that flick he kept screaming at. I mean, the fact is, he wants you to vote for Bush. I mean, he wants you to vote for Kerry. If he wanted you to vote for Bush, I'd say he's a pretty good guy. I would agree with him. Well, he might have killed 3,000, but I mean, you know. That's what that tape means, guys. Don't be fooled by, you know, these guys on Fox this weekend said, well, it looks like an endorsement of Kerry, and the Kerry campaign went nuts. They went crazy. They wanted to throw the Fox reporter off the plane until somebody said, under what pretext? I mean, that's free speech. The commentators can say what they want. Why do you want to throw the reporter off the plane? He's just a reporter. And they relented. They went, yeah, you're right. They went insane, though, because what are they going to do? So if you say, Bush can't say it because they accuse him of politicizing the tape, but the tape is nothing but political. He even says, you Americans, you surprise me at how, you know, why would you keep voting for this man Bush? You surprise me. And the intimation is you vote for Kerry, everything's a good, you know, it's, I guess he's not going to attack us, right? Isn't that right? Yeah, that's right. Well, we'll see. We'll see what we say tomorrow at the polls. We'll survive. Depending, it doesn't matter who gets elected. We'll be all right. I mean, it may cost us a decade of violence, but we'll, as a nation, we'll survive. But please don't be fooled. The tape means exactly what it says. Don't vote for Bush. Vote for Kerry. And why did he come up with a tape? Because he wasn't able to do it with a terrorist attack. Why is that? Gee, I guess we were just lucky. Or maybe it has something to do with Bush. Who knows? One thing's for sure, he might as well just come on that tape and said, this guy Bush is kicking my ass. What do you do? Will you quit voting for him?
I don't think you should do that, Ben.
No, I got to tell the people straight. He's kicking my ass. Please don't vote for him. I'm sitting here in a cave. I look great, don't I? Don't I look healthy and active? Big, long freaking beard. The guy's younger than me. Osama bin Laden, I think, is in his late 40s. I'm 52. He looks like he's 112. Jesus, he looks like Merlin the Freak, the cat from, what do you call it? Who's that cat? Gandalf, man. Freaking Gandalf, sitting there with a rag on his head. Guy's like 28. All right, coming up, we got Dan Rather, Dumbass, another edition of our great weekly feature, and also Wayne Templeton from the Nader headquarters, Bob Bakian reporting live over a few polling places, Earl Pants Car Talk later on in our program. Don't forget, on our website is the new Best of the Phil Henry Show 2004 CD. We are planning a series of 3 or 4 personal appearances where we will sign it for you. If you come out and buy it, all the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. You can pre-order it right now at www.philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now, it's time for the CBS Evening News with Dan Rather. Hello, everyone. I'm Dan Rather. CBS News has uncovered documents that could show anyone campaigning to be president of the United States can only serve for two terms if elected. Has this information been kept from the Kerry camp? And if so, why would the president do this in violation of federal law? Our CBS cameras were there when production assistant Stan Gelbart read a copy of the Constitution that says a president may only serve two terms. CBS News has exclusive footage of a document purported to be the Constitution of the United States, where it says, and I quote, "No person shall be elected to the office of the president more than twice." This information has been held back from the Kerry camp. CBS News has discovered in direct violation of campaign law. Now joining me is CBS News correspondent Dan Rather. Hello, Dan.
Hello.
Dan, what do you think? Well, I read something called the Constitution, and in it...
Are you in there again, Rather?
I'm what?
Are you in the bathroom again?
No, I'm doing a newscast. Get out of here.
Oh, you're carrying that stupid tape recorder with you playing that dopey music. Get out of here, okay? I need to go to the bathroom. I'm going to use the stall. There's no doors in the stall.
You go ahead and go to the bathroom. I've got to finish my newscast. Now...
Do you honestly think you're on the air, you maniac? Get out of here. I want to use the bathroom.
I'm Dan Rather. I have been preempted by what is probably a Bush operative.
Oh, will you shut up and get out of here? Get me some paper out there, too, okay?
Some paper? Toilet paper?
Yeah.
I'm Dan Rather. We're going to discover what the purpose of toilet paper is. We'll be back on next week's 48 Hours.
Oh, my God.
Dan Rather, dumbass.
Presentation of NBC News.
All right, let me go to a phone call here. I got... When does this music end? End, will you? Who's this, Mavis?
Yes, Mr. Hare. How are you doing?
Good, good, dear. What can we do for you?
I wanted to mention on your program, I'm having a difficult time to get out and vote. I don't know how to vote. I can't get to the poll, and they're keeping me from voting.
They're keeping you from voting? You want to go to the poll? You got the TV on there?
Yeah, I do. Robert, turn it down.
What do you want?
Turn the TV down. My nephew Robert is here. He's wanting television.
That's fine. That's fine. I just turn it down a little bit.
Turn it down a little bit. Keep it on A&E. I don't want to watch that anymore.
That is lost.
I don't want to watch that lost mess. Put it on A&E. Mr. Henry, I was going to say that I can't get to the poll. They're going to keep me from voting tomorrow. And I wanted to ask why. Why would they do that?
Well, let me ask you something. Who's keeping you from getting to the polls?
I called up a Bucker Ride, and they said they can't come until 8 a.m. And I'm in church most of the time on 8 a.m., so I can't go.
You called Bucker Ride?
Yeah, it's a Bucker Ride.
Bucker Ride.
He knows that, fool. God, it's a dollar ride.
Yes, I got that. You can't use that?
No, because I'm in church at 8 a.m. every morning. I've always go to church. I'm on down to Congregational Church at the end of the street.
All right, but, the polls will be open
all day.
I can't get out. They won't. I can't. I have no way to get there.
Does your nephew drive?
Robert, you got the ML's car?
No, I don't have that in the shop.
No, ML is his cousin. He doesn't have his car. So I have no way, and they won't let me come, and I want to vote.
And well, what about if you took a bus?
I can't afford a bus. I'm on a fixed income.
And a taxi cab's too expensive.
Oh, yes, my dear, yes. A taxi cab's way expensive.
Is there a relative other than Robert, your nephew, who could take you? Do you have any children?
Oh, yes, I do. I've got 9 children.
You have 9 children. Do any of them drive?
I don't know if any of them drive. They all live out of state, except the one who does live in state. He drives, but he lives in San Francisco.
All right, and that's too far away, so all your kids are out of state, and the one who is in state lives in San Francisco?
Yeah, so they won't let me vote at all.
Well, so how about if you, don't they have volunteers that will come around?
Yes, they do. They have a very nice young lady call, and she said, Ms. Leonard, I heard you want to vote, and I'll come get you at 11 a.m. I said, I can't, because I'm always at 11 a.m. I'll sit down and watch Judge Judy. Okay.
Well, can't you forego watching Judge Judy for one day?
I can't forego watching Judge Judy. I sit down because my sister comes over. That's the one time we can talk and visit because she is 6 days out of the week. She's at a retirement home at Shady Bell.
She's in a retirement home, but they let her out one day to come talk to you and you guys sit and watch Judge Judy.
That's right. So,
what about rent a U-Haul truck?
Damn it. He said, why don't I rent a U-Haul truck? If I could afford a U-Haul truck, I'd do that.
All right, so you can't get a cab, you don't have a relative. Robert there, your nephew, doesn't drive, huh?
No, he don't drive. He did drive. They took his life. Will you turn that mess down, please? Oh, he don't drive, no. So they won't let me vote. And
what about if you were going to, how about if you, I don't know how to get you to vote. What if, can you walk?
I walk. I'm 78 years old. I have arthritis.
How'd you take your pogo stick?
What's that?
Why don't you take your pogo stick?
You think that's funny, don't you?
I think it's pretty... Ow!
I hit that son of a...
What did he say?
He said, why don't I take my pogo stick? You're real funny, aren't you?
You ought to hit me.
Robert is...
So you can't take any transportation...
No, I can't take any...
You can't blow off Judge Judy.
I can't blow who?
No, I said you can't blow off watching Judge Judy, and you gotta go to church at 8 a.m. What about the rest of the day?
Well, the rest of the day, I take my nap.
Then how long do you nap for, hon?
I nap from about 1 p.m. until 6 a.m.
Is that? It's 12 and 5. That's 17 hours?
Yeah. Well, what's wrong with that? I'm elderly. I need my rest.
Yeah, you take a long nap, all right. Then you take a long nap, I'm finally going to inherit this house. Ow!
Damn. You take my pogo stick for your head. So I think that you should find out why Bush won't let me vote. Because otherwise, I want to vote for John Kerry, but I know I won't be able to, and it might come down to one vote.
Why don't you take your rowboat?
Take my rowboat, huh? That's serious?
Yeah. Hell! Did it again.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Coming up, we're going to be hearing a flashback with David G. Hall and Ted Bell on how Ted was having a happy hour at his restaurant. Ted's in Beverly Hills celebrating the Bin Laden tape, saying, hey, maybe this is a break. Maybe he's gonna be cool with us if we just don't vote for Bush. With me on the line here is Margaret Gray, who will be on our program tomorrow night. And Margaret, I know you're kind of in a hurry to get back to California.
I am, Phil. Right now I'm in Denver, and there's been a great deal of snow, and there's been a lot of inclement weather. So we're sort of sitting up a little bit of a delay here.
You're going to be on the show tomorrow night talking about Theresa Heintz and about Laura Bush, right?
I am going to be talking about Theresa Heintz and Laura Bush from this standpoint. I think, as we count the votes tomorrow night, one thing for people to be mindful of is that Laura Bush thinks she's all that in a bag of chips, too. you know, as the kids say, she thinks she's all that. I just...
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, she, you look at her and she's, oh, I'm married to the president and you're not. And you get that sense, whereas Teresa Heinz is no man's party doll. She's no man's, handmaiden. When John Kerry tries to take her arm in public, she immediately jerks it away. She lets him know, don't you dare take my arm and make me look as if I'm breeding in captivity, even though she's almost 70. And I think that's something to admire. I think it's admirable to see a woman treat her husband like he knows his place in public, whereas Laura Bush is so deferential it makes you want to vomit. So I'm going to be talking about that tomorrow night.
Now, don't you think some people might see Laura Bush's behavior as classy, and perhaps Teresa Heinz's as not?
I don't understand.
Well, I mean, pulling your arm away from your husband in public, or excoriating him, castigating him, or chastising him in public, isn't that a humiliation?
Absolutely not, Phil. I don't know what you're getting at, but when she does that, I think it shows the female voters, look, here's a woman that can put, yes, even the President of the United States in his place. How dare you take my elbow and lead me to my seat in a restaurant? Who do you think I am? Grandma Moses? And pull my chair out for me. You pig. You know what? I'm sick of this.
She hang up? All right. That's Margaret Gray tomorrow night on our show, talking about Laura and Teresa Heinz. Well, here's David and Ted from our show Friday. Hey, Phil, why aren't you excited about the Bin Laden tape? He says if all we have to do is vote for Kerry and everything's going to be okay.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Hey, Phil.
Yes, sir.
You know, this is really a great country.
I think
so. When your sponsor can stand there and then threaten you to cut you off the air because you're going to express your opinion, but he's got to have all the time in the world to say what he wants to say.
Well, sir, this is David Hawley, Vice President of Syndication.
I'm sorry to say that, but you're standing there and you're threatening the host of the show for anything that he may want to say that he believes is true.
Well,
and you're going to cut him off the air.
He's not paying the bills.
Well, I know he's not paying the bills, but I'm the guy that's listening, and I'm the guy that's paying to the sponsor.
Is this John? No, this is Ted Bell, John. I want to invite you to come down and have a
drink. I wouldn't come and drink. What, you're gonna buy my thoughts for a lousy drink?
All I'm saying is come down, and I'll give you a drink half off.
Half off for a drink?
Yes,
you think I'd sell my country out for a half off on a drink?
Well, see, that's the point.
I wouldn't come down to your level.
Hold on for a minute. John, this is David Hall. I want to just direct this to my host.
Sure.
We're talking to this caller, so I'd like you to not say anything, Phil.
Well, I'm simply...
Just please shut up while I talk to the guy. Now,
John, this is Ted Bell. I'll give you a big pour. John?
Yeah.
I'll give you an extra pour. I'll give you a...
Look, don't try to buy me, because I know right from wrong.
Well, what is wrong with simply hearing Bin Laden out, hearing what he has to say, and then saying, wow, you know, we may be able to avoid all of the stuff getting blown up?
How many people in this country go around cutting other people's throats? How many heads have been cut off in this country? You mean to tell me, and I don't care how bad Bush is.
Well,
Bush may have made mistakes. Bush is a human being. But you listen to somebody that'll go around and take a woman that's been over there for 30 years trying to help them and threaten her?
Who are you talking about?
Talking about that aid worker.
I'm talking about the aid worker. She's been there 30 years. They take her just to get to their own end, their own means.
Well, I think a lot of that's anecdotal. We don't know if that's happening or not.
Are you kidding? It's in the news.
Phil, shut up. It may be...
You people with your money think you can do anything you want, but there's people in this country that know how to think for themselves.
Well, listen, I'd like you to come down...
I wouldn't come down to your place if you gave it to me.
Well,
not a drink, but if you gave me the place,
really?
I'd burn it down.
This is a man... This is a guy who you want to win as a customer. He's upset, okay?
Yeah, but you're making it worse by opening your mouth.
He's not opening his mouth because I've already got my mind made up.
Hey, listen, John, can I ask you, do you like a good creme brulee?
Look,
creme brulee.
You can take the creme brulee and take and give it to Oprah Winfrey, and I hope you enjoy it.
Well, I can tell you that Oprah does enjoy a lot of our desserts.
Well, that's very good, but I didn't call to talk to you about your desserts.
Sir John, what exactly is bothering you?
I think the man has said what's bothering him. He is saying that the idea of voting for Kerry because Bin Laden's suggesting it is anathema. anathema. It is repulsive.
I'd like you to start speaking English.
Hey, you're gonna tell me that Osama bin Laden said that if you don't vote for the guy that's fighting me, I'll quit fighting if you put Kerry in. What the hell, a guy that has to be nuts to listen to that?
It's worth a shot, I'm saying. What if he's being honest?
The guy killed 3,000 people.
Shut up, Phil.
Why would he want to be honest? What's his purpose? His purpose is to bring this country down.
Well, he's getting his ass kicked, okay, if I can put it in the clearest terms. And he's saying, all right.
He's not getting his ass kicked because they didn't even do anything. Bush is sitting in the damn White House. He's afraid of doing anything on account of the liberals like you people.
Liberals like us?
You're damn right.
I want to look,
do you like a good porterhouse, John? A good, thick porterhouse steak?
You know what you ought to do with that porterhouse steak? Eat it raw. And I hope it's got mad cow disease.
I think that's got it. That's an oral sex reference. I just got that.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Let me go to Bob Bakian, who is over a polling place right now in Northridge. Bob, what do you got?
So right now, what we are looking at is a Northridge, California poll helper just tripped, and three ballots blew into what looked to be a mud puddle of some kind. I'm going to have Terry circle around one more time. Just get around and see if we can see that. Yeah, the poll worker was coming out of the poll and tripped, and three ballots blew into the mud. I don't know, and this is for more experienced reporters than me, but if the Bush administration is behind what have been above normal wind conditions here in Southern California, that could possibly be responsible for this rogue mud puddle that has been formed. And,
what do you mean, the Bush administration behind? I can't hear you with the helicopter.
What's that fella in the helicopter still out?
What do you mean he's behind rogue wind conditions?
So what we're saying is that...
Can you hear me?
President Bush could be behind. We've had very above normal wind conditions here in the Southern California area. And the wind, if he causes the wind to blow harder, it probably blew those ballots out of that poll worker's hands and into the mud, rendering them unusable. And if that is the case, then I think probably President Bush and the Bush administration might be trying some kind of trickery with the weather. And
what, can you hear me, Bob?
So that's what our report is. This is Bob Binky reporting for the Phil Hendry Show.
Bob!
Thank you.
So Bush, is he crazy? You know what? He's been in that helicopter so long, he doesn't have good, normal, terra firma-style air. He's sucking that whatever they breathe up there. All right, so President Bush is causing the wind to blow harder, which made the ballots blow off of the poll workers, out of the poll workers' hands and into a mud puddle. So, aha! There's just one more nail in the coffin, baby, as we get ready for tomorrow. Tomorrow is vote day. Hope you get out and vote, baby. And if you don't, you can't be running around here 4 years from now talking about how everything sucks, right? Because I got, like I said, I got a hunch, and it's more than a hunch. I swear I, when I get a sixth sense about something, I'm never wrong. And I'm guaranteeing you that over 50% of the people who have been complaining about George Bush didn't vote in the year 2000. Guaranteed. I'd put a year's salary on it.
How much is that?
What?
How much is that?
It's none of your business.
Well, how people know if they're going to bet you?
Nobody's got to bet me. I'm putting the year's salary on it.
Okay, I'll bet you.
You'll bet me what?
That you said over 50% of people who like Bush didn't vote.
Right.
Okay, I'll bet you.
Well, you got to put up money.
Well, how much?
I'm not telling you.
You're a turd.
I'm a turd. 1-800-4... Forget it, man. 1-800-449-8686. Earl Pants Car Talk coming up. Now, does David have a show monitor he wants to hook me up to? There's a new show monitor from the Air America that has been sent over?
It was sent over today.
Okay, so this is to find out whether I'm boring or whether I'm compelling. It's the Air America show monitor. Okay, well, we'll hook me up to that. It's like a truth detector of some kind. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
David G. Hall is the vice president of syndication for our show, joins us. David, you've got a Air America show monitor here?
Yeah, we do.
What is the purpose of this?
Well, I'm not trying to offend you, Phil.
Of course it's offensive to me. You want to find out whether my show is interesting when it comes to whether it would make it on Air America?
Absolutely. See, you were dropped by an Air America station. Everyone knows that Air America is the new liberal radio network. You claim to be a Democrat. How could you get dumped by an Air America station?
Because I'm not a traditional Democrat. Because this year I'm voting for Bush. So that makes me some kind of a persona non grata, I guess.
Makes you persona non grata. It makes you, according to the Air America standards, boring.
Boring? You're talking about a freaking network that's got Al Franken on it. How much more dull can they get?
Having you on it? So let me just hook you up. Bud's there.
Oh, don't do this, Bud. Come on, put your hand in here. Okay, I got my hand in there.
All right, when you start talking, it'll sound flatline if you're boring the hell out of the audience. Go ahead, Bud. Give us a demonstration.
All right, if you suck, this is what it's going to sound like.
Yeah, I know.
And if you're interesting, this is what it'll sound like. See?
I get it.
All right, start talking.
Well, what do you want me to say? I mean, I've been sitting...
Boy, you're dull. Right out of the gate, you're dull. Right out of the gate, he's dull, Bud.
Right out of the gate, you're dull.
What do you guys want me to talk about?
Will you get interesting?
Okay, John Kerry is the greatest thing that I've ever seen in my life. What a fantastic man he would make as President of the United States. He's so, I don't know, tall and good-looking and...
What a liar.
All right, he's ugly, but he's a guy who I think could really make a great president. Who needs to be good-looking to be a great president, right? And on top of that, I think that he's going to kick some ass there on the terrorists and...
You're lying again.
I mean, he's going to make the terrorists... He's gonna,
You're lying!
He won't do anything about terrorism.
There you go!
But he'll make the French love us, and that's the most important thing, whether the French and the Krauts like us, and that's really cool. And so that's why I'm gonna vote for John Kerry for President of the United States of America.
What a lying sack of crap.
Yeah, you're gonna vote for him.
Alright, I'm gonna vote for George Bush. It's still dead!
You suck!
Nothing I can say with that Air America show monitor, is there? There's nothing I can say, man. Well, while I speak, there ain't nothing I can do for the Miami Dolphins. I realize this is time-sensitive. If you hear this being replayed at a later hour, I would just like you to know that the date is November the 1st, the year 2004, and the Dolphins are getting their asses handed to them by the New York Jets 41-7. What a black day in Dolphin Town. Woo! I don't think I've ever seen them get blown out like this. Dave Wonstadt, see you later, baby. It's really, you know, kind of nice knowing you. Jay Fiedler, nice knowing you. Dolphins are getting blown out at Pro Play or whatever the hell it's called, 41-7. And they even had the ball down around the Jet 3-yard line, and they got it picked off by the Jet third-string secondary. Wow!
They even got a black guy in now.
Who?
The Jets.
They got a black guy in? There's about 9 black guys in there.
No, the quarterback's black.
Well, good for you, but what do you got to point this crap out for?
Because ordinary is a white guy.
What did I tell you about that racial sensitivity training? Chad Pennington. It's Quincy Carter who's in there, okay?
Is he black?
Yes, he is.
Okay, that would be him.
Yeah, thank you very much, man. I knew that. Quincy Carter, who they thought... Anyway, the Jets are kicking the crap out of the Dolphins. 1-800-449-8686. Did you watch any football this weekend? Because I sure didn't.
You better be with a name like Quincy. You better be black, you know what I mean?
No, I don't.
Well, no white man has that name.
Go take more racial sensitivity.
Not with the jelly beans.
Go do it. I didn't watch any football this weekend. I've been busy as hell with a variety of different projects, but it ain't going to get interesting till the middle of the season. Where are we now, man? We're around game 7, game 8. Okay, so it's the middle of the season. So, I've been slacking off on my football viewing this year. And I didn't go see SC kick the hell out of Washington State simply because they weren't at the Coliseum. They were up there in Pullman. What a name for a town, Pullman. Pull this. And then they'll be back against Notre Dame, and, you know, whatever. They're going to win the national championship, whoopee-doo. What passes for football in L.A. is like college ball, so what do you want from me? Our website, www.philhenryshow.com, www.philhenryshow.com, for all news about the Phil Henry Show, including our souvenir shop, which is going to give you all kinds of wonderful gift ideas for this holiday season. Just visit www.philhenryshow.com and like that. Taking a look at the news, George Bush has a one-point lead going into the election over John Kerry, according to a poll commissioned by Reuters. Reuters Zogby, Bush led Kerry 48-47 in the latest three-day national tracking poll, well within the margin of error, setting up a tense final day in an extraordinarily close race for the White House. Bush and Kerry were deadlocked at 48 on Sunday. Each candidate continues to do well among his base constituency. Kerry was favored by young voters, those between the ages of 18 and 29, 64 to 35, but the size of the turnout in that voting block is one of the biggest unknowns of Tuesday's election. That might be what carries Kerry, if the kids turn out and vote. Zogby said he was calculating young voters would account for 12% of the total vote, but a larger share would be a boost for the Massachusetts senator. Each point it goes higher translates into 0.2% for Kerry if these numbers hold up. He had a 54-40 percentage edge among newly registered voters. Yeah, those are all the crack addicts that they registered up there. Yeah, you got it. Funny how that works when you pay a guy $50 to vote for you. Gee, Kerry's got an edge 50-40 among newly registered voters. Why? Because he pays them. Why don't you guys try that? Okay. Bush's strongest issue, national security, the war on terror, moved into second place in the list of most important issues to voters. The economy has been the top issue since the poll started on October the 7th. Most of the three-day poll was conducted after a threatening new videotape from Al-Qaeda surfaced. That's the latest in terms of, but that stuff changes. Who knows, man? This thing may come out tomorrow. Kerry may kick his ass by like 5 percentage points, 6 percentage points, or the other way around. Or there's a theory that the media has been reporting it's closer than it actually is to keep interest alive. I don't know. Coming up, we got Earl Pants Car Talk on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
All right, Earl Pants will have car... Earl Pants Car Talk. He's coming up in a few minutes. I don't know what his problem's going to be today, but he'll talk car talk with us. And tomorrow night will be the election, and I imagine in many cities will be preempted, and it's understandable, given the fact that our program is basically an entertainment-driven show. It's not really a news show per se, so the heavy-ass news coverage of the election, I'm sure, will take precedence. And I understand that, and I certainly encourage it, and I also encourage you to watch the coverage of the election. One thing to think about, just one thing, not a big thing, because I know the Bin Laden tape, you know, whatever. It's like a lot of people say, it's going into the mix. There's a lot of things going into the mix. Bin Laden referenced in his tape the $1 trillion. He was very proud of the fact that he was able to hit the American economy to the tune of $1 trillion, which is true. When all was said and done, in terms of debt and just the debt we ran up from 9/11 was enormous. The number one issue in voters' minds as of today is the economy, and security of the country is just a close second. I have never been able to have this question answered, ever, by anyone, including my brother-in-law over there in London, who is the huge Kerry supporter. And when he and I exchange emails, it's typical. He keeps talking about what a piece of crap Bush is. I say, okay, I get it, man. Can you tell me a little bit about your candidate? And he's vague on detail because there isn't a whole lot of specificity you can get into with a guy like Kerry, because he hasn't been really specific. I mean, he's been specific in saying he's going to, like, save everybody money and everything's going to be great. You know, I'm not going to tax you and I'm going to cure all these problems. But no one has ever, 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 ever answered this question. And the reason why they haven't answered is because there is really no answer. If you're coming from the position that Senator Kerry's coming from, you need to avoid this question because you have no answer for it. It happens to be something, though, that President Bush had to deal with. what happens when the economy goes south after a terrorist strike, another terrorist strike in this country? What do you do? What are you going to do to keep those jobs growing that you said you're going to grow, to keep the deficit from inflating that you said you'd keep from inflating, and to keep the taxes from not going up, right? How do you, what are you going to do when whole industries are hit with job layoffs? Just, and we've seen it. I mean, we saw it right after 9/11. It's, if you just will allow your mind to go back that far, remember when $40 billion alone had to go to the airline industry? Remember when all of the, nobody was going out, nobody was shopping? What was a soft recession drove us into a pretty deep one. And I haven't heard anybody, in fact, I would even welcome any call from anybody who will tell me what Kerry will do if that eventuality occurs, that we are hit with another terrorist strike and people are laid off, industries go south. And I don't want to hear, I don't want to tell you what to say, but I'd really appreciate it if you could just tell me without, you know, bringing up some Bush bashing. Because I'm going to take it on faith that you don't like Bush, that you think he's just been lousy for the country. I get it, okay? I understand that. With all of the things that he's had to deal with, all of the stuff, including 9/11 and the subsequent days, that was something he also had to deal with, and no one sort of allows for that. You know, all they can do is say, "Oh man, all these jobs went away, and all of this and all of that." You know, but you heard the bearded wonder on Friday, you know, Gandalf the Grey there in his cave in Afghanistan, say, "We're very proud of the fact that we nailed you guys for $1 trillion with the attack on September the 11th. So I said, well, the guy's right. I mean, he really did drive a stake into us in terms of the economy. Now, you know, Senator Kerry has said he's going to do all of these marvelous things, right? But he hasn't said how he's going to keep that happening if another terror attack occurs. And all it takes is one. A bomb going off in a mall, for instance. Do you realize what that'll do to retail sales in this country? People won't, they won't be out shopping. Nobody flew after 9/11. No one wanted to get on an airplane, even though it was pretty well discussed and fairly well agreed upon that any terrorist attempting to hijack a plane from that day forward was doomed. I mean, no passenger on any plane was going to allow it to be hijacked. And that's probably one of the reasons why we haven't seen hijackings, or more of them, I should say. So that's something, I don't know, I don't want to tell you how to vote. I'm just telling you, keep that in mind, you know, with all of the wonderful things. He's never, ever said in any speech I ever heard the guy give, in any talking points, in any interview, never said how he would deal with the destructive effects of a terror attack on the economy. And this has been Senator Kerry's huge pitch, man. This economy sucks. We've lost jobs. We've lost health care. We have lost manufacturing. We're not outsourcing any more jobs under my administration. This is going, we're going to make it all just beautiful, baby. As if the cat's operating in this bubble that does not take into account terrorism. Like this terrorism thing is sort of a figment of maybe George Bush's imagination. In fact, you heard the man say, Senator Kerry say, well, we'd like it to just be kind of a nuisance. In fact, he was quoting Norman Mailer. I heard an interview with Norman Mailer not long after 9/11. Norman Mailer is one of the most overrated writers and overrated thinkers in the history of the world, who said, I fear I'm saying that terrorism is just going to be have to be something we have to live with. Now, you know, President Clinton warned us in 99, America could become the new battleground for terrorists. It would be the new battleground. I don't know about you, but I think there is something we can do about that. I don't think we have to accept that. In other words, just sit back and heave a big sigh and go, oh, well. Because if that's the case, I got big news for anybody who cares to listen. You can kiss off this so-called job growth, everything. Everything the senator has said that he's going to do, it ain't going to happen. It just isn't going to happen. Not with America becoming the new terrorist battleground, or a country that, like so many in Europe, learns to coexist with these periodic terror strikes. Bomb goes off over here one day, a plane gets blown out of the sky another day, and it's just kind of life as usual, baby. You can kiss goodbye anything that you call economic recovery. Certainly the millions of jobs he says he's going to add, it's not going to happen. Now, I'm not saying that the senator's a liar. I'm not going to say that, even though many have called President Bush a liar. even though Senator Kerry, if you want to call Bush a liar on the weapons of mass destruction, Kerry's as much a liar. I choose not to go down that road. I don't think either one's a liar. I think they got lousy intelligence, and that's just the way it goes. However, that having been said, I wouldn't call a guy a liar. I think the guy is probably wondering how he's going to do it, too. And he's kept it completely away from the American electorate as to what his solution to that problem would be. And President Bush, God bless him, the guy never brought it up in the debate. He was sidetracked by so much and so badly prepared for those debates. There were so many points that he could have driven home that he just didn't, because I think his handlers and advisors told him, oh, you go out there and you just be George and everyone's going to love you. Yeah, they didn't love him. So everything being equal, yeah, maybe Kerry can get the economy jump-started, but it ain't the same as it was in 1992 when President Clinton took over. We struggled out of that recession. We had a wonderful boom time during the 90s. When people laugh about the description of this being a whole new world, they show their ignorance of history. This is a whole new world. There is a whole other variable involved now. If you want to talk about jobs, you want to talk about manufacturing, you want to talk about health care, anything having to do with money, you absolutely have to figure terrorism or the threat of terrorism into it. Because look what it did on September the 11th, to the point where Osama bin Laden was on his tape on Friday crowing about it, proud of it. Look what we did to their economy. We muscled you guys for $1 trillion. We hammered your ass. You imagine what we could do with 4 or 5 terrorist strikes like that? Your country, as you know it, would come to a grinding halt, baby. The guy's right, based upon our experience. What's unfortunate about this election is people have forgotten September the 11th. I mean, they have just absolutely forgotten it. So, I put that question out 10 minutes ago. I said, I'd love for somebody to tell me what Kerry's going to do if we have a terror strike. Forget it, baby. There ain't a one. And I said, do it without bagging on Bush. Just for once, I'd like to hear from a Kerry supporter who can get 5 words out of his mouth without, well, Bush did this and Bush did, yeah, I get it, man. All right, okay, I'll accept that Bush was horrible for the country and a failure. All I want to know is, as a citizen and as a potential voter, if another 9/11 happens while Kerry's president, what's he going to do to keep all those jobs from going away? The answer is nobody knows, including Kerry. There's only one president who has actual experience dealing with something like that. His name's George Bush. It ain't easy either. Ain't easy. All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Earl Pants Car Talk coming up on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Earl Pence Car Talk. Get by the phone, fellow travelers.
Why don't you love me like
time to talk cars with Earl Pence. Hello, everyone. This is Earl Pence, and welcome to Car Talk. I'm going to have today's advice for you, our tip of the day, and then we're going to get to some phone calls. I do want to remind people, I don't want you to say those words that I don't want to hear. Please don't say the words that I don't want to hear.
We don't get near her.
There's certain words I don't want to hear. There's 2 words I don't want to hear tonight. Please, please don't say them. Now, you might ask, how come you got certain words you don't want to hear, Earl?
And say sweet nothing.
Because I hang around car nuts and car buffs all day long, and they use these 2 words, the ones I don't want to hear today on my show, from any caller, way too much. However, barring that, we should have a very, very pleasant relationship today on the show and have a really good time. Now, here's today's tip of the day. What do you do if you come out of a restaurant and you find that your car's been backed into? All right, what do you do if you find a ding in your car? Well, first thing you do is you ask anybody standing around in the parking lot, hey, who backed into my car? Now you're probably going to get some stupid looks and say, I don't know who backed into the car. Then you go into the restaurant and say, anybody know who backed into my car out there? And people will say, well, no, I don't know who backed into the car. So that's when you go to your glove box, pull out a .45 and stick it to the head of the nearest old lady and say, I'm going to put your brains through your hairnet if you don't tell me who backed into my car. Now, come on, and she'll tell you. That's my idea. All right, let's go to our calls. Now, remember, please, in the name of everything holy, don't say it. Oh, please, I hope they don't say the words. Hello, Bill.
Hi, how you doing, Earl? I'm not sure what words you don't want me to say. I love your show.
No, that's not it.
Okay. Listen, Bill, I've got a car, a 49 Ford. It's in mint condition.
There it is. Mint condition. Get out of here.
Wait a minute, Doug. Closer than a
country mile. Earl Pence Car Talk has been brought to you by Bardol. Join Earl next week. Why won't you say the things you used to say? What made... Is that it? Earl's off the air because somebody said mint condition? 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Giancarlo. Dude. That's how I'm going to start all of my calls now, like, dude? Hey, Giancarlo?
Yeah, hi.
What's up, man?
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, sir.
Good. Yeah, listen, I think I have the answer, and I'm, let me tell you, I'm not the best economies, or I wouldn't say that I'm the most smart guy in the world, but I think that you have the answer. You just said it, and the way it carries... It will prevent. You see, the word will be prevent to economy to go sour. Will be going after the guys, the people who can really hurt us the most, and that will be Bin Laden.
Oh. Now you realize there's another guy. You know, there's another guy by the name of Zarqawi who's working.
I'm sorry.
You've heard of a man by the name of Zarqawi who is the de facto head of Al Qaeda now.
Did I hear of that?
Yeah, have you heard of Zarqawi, the man who's been slicing people's heads off in Iraq? Have you heard about him?
Yeah, I think
he is the de facto head of Al Qaeda.
Oh, he is one of the Al Qaeda, but he's not the head of Al Qaeda.
He is the de facto head. You know what I mean by that? He's running the show while Bin Laden is sitting in a cave hoping that he doesn't get his ass blown up.
Right, but unfortunately, you know, if Bin Laden doesn't give the green light, the other guy doesn't do anything.
You think so?
I'm positive.
What do you mean you're positive? You aren't positive. You have no idea. These are sleeper cells all over the world, sir, who are given an independent hand in how their terror activity may or may not develop. Zarqawi has ideas, and so does Bin Laden.
Okay, but so that's, you don't have to one cell.
Wait a minute. You couldn't do it, could you? You had to bring up Bush. You couldn't tell me what Kerry was going to do in case jobs went south because of a terror attack. You had to bring Bush into it.
No, no, no. See, the word is to prevent that. See, you have to
Giancarlo,
prevent.
You can't tell me with certainty that you got to get a green light from Bin Laden. Because if Bin Laden dies tomorrow, there's 15 other lieutenants that are going to take the guy's place. Have you been following the news, sir, for the last 2 years?
Yeah, right. Let me tell you something. Didn't you know that, I'm sure you, Bush is saying all the time that he actually... got 70% or 60%.
Here we go with George Bush again. Look, I'm telling you,
I think he got 60 or 70% of their
leadership. Yeah,
of the leadership.
Yes.
So what does that mean?
It means we haven't been attacked since 9/11.
So it means that if we get Bin Laden, what do we get?
So in other words, George Bush has protected us so well. Let's vote him out of there. I don't get it.
See, what happens is that he probably did 60, 70%, but he didn't do 100%.
Kerry's
going to
be.
I don't think you need somebody who's perfect. I need someone who has more knowledge as to...
Sir, can I tell you something? Because I... Forgive me, sir, but there's a naivete to your view. All it takes is one terrorist with a bomb from a cell in Munich, New York, upstate New York, Portland, to walk into a mall and blow himself up. You're telling me he's got to get a green light from Afghanistan, and I'm telling you that you're naive. To the point of fatally naive, if you believe that if Kerry gets Bin Laden, our terror worries are over.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that, but it's a pretty good
start. All right, then
start.
Answer my question. What's Kerry going to do for the economy if one terrorist gets loose in this country and blows himself and a couple of thousand people up and jobs start going south as they did after 9/11? I want to know. I'm an undecided voter.
To prevent...
No, my friend. If someone gets through, you're going to tell me Kerry's going to stand there and say, I did everything I could to prevent it? Well, I'll say thank you, Senator. I'll say thank you, President Kerry.
I don't think Kerry or Bush can do any better.
I know that Bush has done better. Bush has protected us since September the 11th. I want to know what Kerry's going to do when he gets elected president.
I'm sure Kerry will do the same thing.
You're sure? And if he's not able to, if he's not able to,
you don't think that
you're avoiding my question.
For America than Bush?
You're avoiding my question as much as Senator Kerry's avoided it.
Oh, no, I'm not avoiding the question.
What is he going to do to keep the jobs from going south if a terror strike occurs?
See, that's what I'm telling you.
No, you're telling me it won't happen. And I'm saying you're using the reasoning of a child. If it happens, it's going to happen. What is Kerry going to look at the country and say, gee, I'm sorry, I didn't think it would happen? Are you honestly going to sit there and tell me it will not happen over 4 years of John Kerry's presidency, that a terrorist will not get loose in this country? Are you saying with certainty? I think when we plan for our families, and you're probably the same way, we have to plan for every eventuality. Aren't you a guy that has health insurance?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, why do you have health insurance? Are you certain that you're going to get sick? Well, you got to. You don't know whether you're going to get sick or not.
You prevent.
You try to prevent it, but you get sick sometimes even if you try to prevent it. You get cancer. You think,
you know what you do by
half the people in the world wouldn't have...
You minimize the risk.
What?
You minimize the risk.
But it could still happen. Couldn't.
Right. There's always a...
So we're back to my question.
You will minimize the risk. By minimizing
this is unbelievable.
Risk,
and this is exactly, ladies and gentlemen, a Kerry supporter right here. I've got him for you right here. There's a naivete and an inability to see beyond the day and themselves. This gentleman, a well-meaning man, Giancarlo, cannot even allow himself to answer that question. Because if he has to answer that question, John Kerry's in a world of hurt. He hasn't answered it himself. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, I got a question out here that I knew it couldn't be answered, and I doubt it seriously if it's going to be answered, because it's unfortunately one that, you know, Senator Kerry didn't... should we just kind of blow off what we're doing and take the calls? It's a pretty good question. It's not one that he's dealt with. What happens if another terrorist strike wipes out billions of dollars in terms of jobs, infrastructure, whole industries are paralyzed, such as what happened after 9/11. What's his plan for that? Now, he's never addressed that. The reason why he's never addressed it is because there's no answer. When an industry is so utterly decimated by a terrorist strike like the airline industry was, that they need a $40 billion bailout alone, not to mention an entire city in distress, like New York City, which needed billions more. Little hard to grow jobs and keep that deficit from fattening, isn't it? So you don't want to go there, man, when you're campaigning to be president of the United States. All you can say is the other guy was a catastrophe. Well, all right, I'll give you that Bush was a catastrophe. Let's say Bush was a total catastrophe, that he didn't have a crystal ball and he didn't predict that 9/11 was going to happen, along with so many others in the Clinton administration, but we won't go there. We'll just say that it was all Bush's fault. So, I'm going to vote for Kerry if you guys can convince me that this guy's got a plan to keep jobs from disappearing by the bushel should we be hit by another terror strike. Here's Todd. Hello, Todd.
Mr. Hendry.
How you doing?
All right. Thanks. Yourself?
Good, man.
Hey, you're asking this question. I must admit, I'm not prepared to answer, I think, what you're looking for, such as what is his plan, Kerry's plan.
That's what I'm looking
should
for.
Should another terrorist...
If I was going to vote for you, I'd want to hear what your plan is.
You're absolutely right, and granted, he hasn't said it, but he in the debates, I didn't catch two of them, embarrassed to say, but I caught the third one, and I was amazed. He said more to more of the questions posed to them. The one question posed in the third debate that I was listening for, because I was an example of the question. and that was, what are you going to do to stop the outsourcing of jobs?
Right.
Which I consider is a huge problem.
Right.
Because of the destruction in my life right now that's continuing to ripple out like a nuclear blast. The destruction to my credit.
Dude, you're a poet, man.
And seriously, and it's going to continue going from this outsourcing of jobs. Other people, even
What kind of job have you got?
Animation.
Oh, those stinking Koreans is what you're talking about.
Well, that.
You know, we did an animated pilot for Fox, and they were saying, "Yeah, we get over to Korea, and we'll be back in 3 weeks." Honest to God, man, it all got done in Korea.
Yeah, absolutely, and it doesn't have to be that way.
So what was his solution to that, man? Other than the fact that, you know. If he's going to get the French and the Germans on board in this reconstruction of Iraq, you know he's going to have to outsource some jobs to them.
Absolutely, and that's going to happen regardless of government levels, especially. They're the worst abusers of that. And that's what's so hypocritical. This place should be called hypocrisy, not America.
But dude, you're living here, man. You love this place. This is home sweet home.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, now let me ask him. So what did he say in terms of your job that he's going to do to keep... the animation jobs, for instance, here in the United States.
And I'm going to follow your rules. I'm not going to talk about Bush. I'm going to talk about what Kerry said. What Kerry said is he's going to close the tax loopholes, which are the biggest incentive. That's why my company, through me, and 40 other hardworking, trusted Americans out like garbage.
So the companies will be paying more in taxes if they go overseas.
Heck, any company, here's my plan. If I was going to run for president, to stop it immediately, first of all, you would have to file with the U.S. government. You'd have to file with the IRS why you're taking your company overseas. And if for whatever reason you need the elephant dung on the streets of India, or the cow manure sitting over there on the streets to manufacture your product or whatever, then that's a good enough reason.
Okay, what if I don't have a good enough reason?
If you don't have a good enough reason and it looks like greed... And I will define greed. You can't define greed in a democracy.
Well,
like
and you're going to have a business owner who's going to look at you and say, who are you to tell me what's greedy and what's good for my business?
What is greedy is when you are destructive with your surroundings
to gain more wealth. You mean polluting?
Could be. I'm not going to go on that list.
You're going to have a hard time.
If you're destructive with lives or employees.
Yeah, but dude, you're going to have a hard time. When push comes to shove, this stuff always goes to litigation. You're going to have a hard time walking into a court of law and saying, this man, Mr. XYZ, doesn't have a right to do business the way he sees fit.
Look.
As an American businessman.
A German company holds sovereignty to the German nation at which the company was born. Same thing with an American company. If you were born in here on this economy, company started here, you should
I like that idea. I like that idea. However, by the same token, Kerry's been involved in companies that have benefited from that. But however, we won't go there.
Absolutely.
But it still doesn't answer the question, should a catastrophic terrorist strike hit this country, how this man is going to plan on keeping those jobs and building on them.
No, and of course, and
anyway,
I will say...
you're a good caller, man, but you sound like you got to get back to the tables.
Good talking.
All right, brother, see you later. That cat was all right. That's Todd, man, in Vegas. Let's go over to Emily. Hey, Emily, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Not much. How about you?
I'm good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, I just wanted to, everybody that's going to vote tomorrow, get out to the polls, do whatever you can. That old lady in the wheelchair, whatever. No, hope you get to vote.
Right.
So,
you mean Mavis?
Yes.
Yeah, she's busy watching Judge Judy.
Exactly. Well, my question, or my statement, rather, is that Bush has solid, concrete ethics and different things, but...
All kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah. But Kerry is playing ring around the rosy. In the debates, he said, I have a plan, go to johnkerry.com. Well, that's not going to do as much. Tell us what it is in person.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't respect their intelligence, does it?
No. He's very, political. He knows a lot, supposedly. And it's not showing very well by saying, go to my website. He can't tell it to the people like it is.
All right, cool. All right, Emily.
All right.
You voting tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
All right, cool.
All right.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. That other guy in Vegas, about the outsourcing thing, he's right. But I'm asking a more basic question. Here's the thing. If this was Well, I got a guy who's hanging on. He says, we didn't have this with Clinton. It ain't 1992. We got a whole other variable that's been introduced. It's called Osama, baby. It's called Al-Qaeda. It's called We Hate You, America, and we want to do everything to screw up your happy life. Right? So that means we have to contend with this enemy now. So you have to factor him in to everything that you decide you want to do. From, I don't care, from planning your retirement to building a, or buying a home to building a business. You have to factor this extra guy in. This guy called the terrorist. We saw what he did to New York City. We saw what he did to 3,000 lives, not to mention the hundreds and hundreds of children left orphaned, not to mention the not to mention the money that he put New York out, not to mention the money he put the federal government out, not to mention, as he said, the rippling effect in the economy to the tune of $1 trillion. We have to bring this guy into the mix. We can't pretend like he ain't there. I was going to say President Kerry. For all I know, it's going to be President Kerry in, you know, a few hours. Senator Kerry is going about this baby like it's 1995. He's talking about we're going to find the terrorists wherever they are. Do you understand that that costs money? Of course it does. I support him for wanting to do that. But I don't support him for saying he's going to do that and tell me that he's going to grow jobs. He's going to not inflate the deficit, but in fact bring it down. And he's not going to raise taxes. I know somebody is yanking something here, baby, and it ain't me, okay? I can see both my hands, and I still feel somebody on me. Come on, man. Telling me everything that I want to hear, that's fine, but I want to know how you're going to do it, okay? And look, I'd much rather have a president who levels with me and says, look, this is going to be a tough thing, but I think I got an idea as to how we can protect ourselves, and if we can at least protect ourselves, then we can maybe start to lay our roots back down a little bit. When I got some guy playing it fast and loose with me and insulting my intelligence and telling me, oh, well, you know, this and that and this and that and this and that and this and that, and we're going to go after Osama bin Laden, anybody that's been following the war in Iraq knows that we've got more than Osama bin Laden to worry about. We got this guy Zarqawi. We've got terror cells in Germany that still exist here in the United States, Spain, you name it. You don't have to get the green light from Osama. This is not what I call General Motors here, okay? You don't have to get it. It ain't like CBS, man, where Les Moonves signs off on everything, all right? Osama ain't the CEO, and he ain't programming a TV network. And it isn't just Al-Qaeda. There's a million groups out there that have it. Their absolute sworn obligation to screw up our good time over here. I just want to know what that man said with regard to how he was going to deal with the inevitable loss of jobs and the hit to the economy should something like that happen. He didn't answer the question. I'm not saying Senator Kerry is a bad guy. I'm sure he wants to do his best by the American people, but he's not doing me or you a favor when he doesn't answer that question. He's insulting my intelligence. Such as it is. Here is Stephen. Stephen? Oh, I didn't hit the button. Stephen? Stephen?
Yes.
Yes, man, you're on the air.
All right, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to say a couple things. This terrorist thing with Osama and Saddam, it did not just start. It's been going on a long, long time. We've been over in Iraq for I don't know how long. It didn't just start with George Bush. It didn't just start with his father.
Well, the first time it hit America was in September the 11th of 2001.
All right, because we're over there. They told us a long time ago that this has nothing to do with us, but we build bases over there and post it up like this was our thing. I was in the military. I know this.
Build bases over where, sir?
Bases in the Middle East.
Where?
In Iraq.
Well, we're in Iraq now, but you said it's been going on a long time. Where were our bases in Iraq back in 95 or 94?
95 or 94?
You mean you're talking about
the military?
You're talking about the our support of the Mujahideen in Afghanistan? Or you?
I'm not talking about Afghanistan.
Well, what are you talking about, Stephen? Tell me what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the bases that we have.
Now?
Not just now.
Well, when?
When? Back before Desert Storm.
Okay, where?
Because
what bases?
Desert Storm, it doesn't matter
what
bases, in the Middle East.
What bases in the Middle East did
this
we have?
This is what I'm saying.
Stephen, we didn't have any bases in the Middle East.
Okay.
Before Desert Storm?
Not before Desert Storm.
That's what you said. Before Desert
Storm. That's not what I said.
You said before Desert Storm, because after Desert Storm, it doesn't matter.
Started. Okay, you're trying to cross me up now. I'm trying to make a point.
No, I'm listening to what you're saying, and you're not being clear. You
All
said
right.
that you,
well,
you said it
I'm
didn't
about
matter.
To be clear, if you let me continue.
What bases are you talking about? The Saudi bases after Desert Storm? Is that what you mean? The Saudi base, the American occupancy of Saudi Arabia after Desert Storm?
Okay,
American troops?
If that's what you're trying to get me to say.
No, but I want to...
My point is...
Tell me what it is you're going to say, because first of all, this is my show, and I can't let you ramble on. I've got to ramble on.
I'm not rambling on.
All right, then tell me what bases, and tell me within the next 10 seconds, or I'm hanging up. What bases?
My point is, the thing that John Kerry said he was going to do, first and foremost...
So there are no bases, so you made that up.
You asked the question.
What bases is the question? What bases?
Sir.
B-A-S-E-S, what bases? What bases are you talking about?
Sir, you asked the question.
Yeah, answer it.
What will John Kerry do?
Answer the question, what bases? You were in the military? You trotted out your military experience. You said we had bases.
I'm trying to answer the question.
All right. Okay, what bases?
My answer to your question you are posing to everybody tonight is what John Kerry will do.
So you want to go past that whole statement about us having bases in the Middle East?
That's not the point.
Well, why'd you bring it up?
The question you are asking, sir.
Why did you bring it up?
The question you are asking,
why'd you
sir,
bring it up?
Is what will John Kerry do?
Yeah, then why didn't you answer it in the beginning without this bases in the Middle East gobbledygook?
Sir.
Yeah, why don't you answer my question instead of bringing up all kinds of...
You want me to answer the question about what John Kerry will do?
Well, I don't know what to ask you now. You brought up bases in the Middle East, which you apparently don't have any knowledge of. So go ahead, answer the question about
Ali Asaleen.
What?
Ali Asaleen, where I was stationed for 4 months, getting shot at.
In Saudi Arabia?
No, not in Saudi Arabia.
In Iraq?
On the border between Iraq and Iran.
Okay, you said before Gulf...
I did not say before, I said after.
Then we could have cleared this up very easily if you would have said that, and if you would have noted to me what base you were talking about.
I just told you I was.
Thank
over
you,
here.
Thank you. After 5 minutes.
Now.
Yeah, you know what? I'm running out of time.
You're running out of time
you
now. Now, after I want to answer.
Go ahead, tell me. I'll let you answer the question. All right, go ahead.
The first thing he came out his mouth with on that first debate was he would train the Iraqis to defend themselves. Now, when I was over there, I seen firsthand. They do not care. They sit on them gates, on them bases, not prepared for combat.
How's that going to prevent terrorism from striking the United States? And if terrorism strikes the United States, how's he going to keep jobs and industries from going into the crapper? That's my question. What's your answer?
How did Bush do it?
Oh, he's going to do what George Bush did? Good, then I'll vote for George Bush. Thanks for answering that, Stephen. There's another Kerry voter. Oh, my God. And the guy was in the military, too? Must have been the Army. I'm joking. Come on. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Let me just quickly go to Wayne Templeton, who is at the Ralph Nader headquarters. How's things going, Wade? Wade, you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
How's everything going?
Oh, it's exciting.
You're at the Nader headquarters, right?
Oh, you bet.
Okay, so a lot of people coming by?
Not yet, but we've got a lot of campaign literature, and we're very happy to give it out.
Where are you, man?
I'm at the Nader campaign headquarters.
Why? I'm hearing frogs and crickets.
Well, it's kind of quiet right now. Car came by about a half hour ago. I thought they were going to slow down, but they asked me directions for the... They want to know where the 101 was. Well, yeah, you just keep on going.
Do they think you're a gas station?
Some people think I'm a gas station. A couple other people thought that I was... had a stalled car. They didn't know why I was here.
So they don't know that you're a campaign headquarters. You just have a stalled car.
Yeah, I guess. What? Are you making fun of me?
Good luck, man, okay?
Vote Nader. Oh. Wish somebody come by.
There's Wade. He's out at the Nader headquarters. Well, tomorrow is Election Day, and I hope you vote. I know you will. There's so much excitement and so much interest in this campaign. It's the best. It's really the best election in my entire life because there's going to be so much involvement. And I am a Democrat, as I have told you, who has voted Democrat since I could first vote. And my very first election was 1976. I voted for Jimmy Carter. Voted Democrat every election since, man. I can tell you, I cast my vote in 1980 for President Carter and 84 for Mondale, 88 Dukakis, all the way down the line. But I'm going to vote for George Bush tomorrow. And I simply want to suggest to you that you do the same thing if you're a Democrat. I can't speak to anybody else. Just speak to a fellow Democrat and say, this isn't the time for us to vote for the man. Because the man that our party has selected, Senator Kerry, who is a patriot, and I believe he did serve his country honorably, but he has no plan. It is a disastrous thing when the party just throws somebody up there just to counter a president who's going to go down in history, George Bush. And he will go down in history. I got a year's salary on that, bud.
Well, that's not a lot.
You're right. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.